And we are back on the County Grapevine for Wednesday, July 8th. I'm Dave Wheatley, your host, and here's Pamela Stagg with this week's The County, Naturally.
Welcome to The County, Naturally. I'm Pamela Stagg. Today, jewels of the bird world.
I just think they captivate people in every way possible.
They're tiny and seemingly fearless. There's nothing quite like the hummingbird family. These jewel-like birds migrate 600 miles over the open ocean and enchant us when they visit feeders at our homes. Here to talk about them is Ashley Jensen, Bander in charge at Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory. Welcome to the program, Ashley.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today, Pamela.
Everyone loves hummingbirds. What's the appeal of these little jewels?
They are just these jewel-like little birds. They're so tiny, and I think they're just very charismatic. They come to feeders, which people love. They get very close to people. They're beautiful. They have big personalities. They're just fun to watch. I just think they captivate people in every way possible. Just can't help but love a hummingbird.
How many species are there in the world?
There's about 365, or give or take, species in the world. And all of those are actually in the Americas. So there's no hummingbirds outside of the Americas. Most of those hundreds of species of hummingbirds are in South America. So there's just a handful that are in North America and only one that makes it to the East. In Canada, there's five species. So we have the ruby-throated hummingbird in the east. And then there are four in the west. Anna's hummingbird. The black-chinned hummingbird. Rufus hummingbird. And calliope hummingbird.
Hummingbird wings beat so fast, they're just a blur. How often do hummingbird wings beat in a minute?
This number is mind-blowing. Their wings beat 50 times a second, which doesn't seem possible, but it is. They've measured it, and they beat about 50 times a second.
So that gives us 3,000 times a minute.
Approximately, yes.
It's not just hummingbirds' wings that beat so rapidly. The hummingbird's pulse is stratospheric compared to a human heart rate. How fast would that be?
It's about 1,200 beats per minute. We're talking 10 times a human heartbeat when you're exercising, for example. Very fast. When you're holding a hummingbird in your hand, if you ever have the privilege of doing so, like we do occasionally here, you can actually feel something that feels like a vibration, and that's actually the heart beating, because it beats so fast it feels like a vibration.
You can't even feel an individual beat.
No. It's so fast it just feels, you think the hummingbird was like almost shivering because it's vibrating, but truly it's its heartbeat.
The hummingbird must have a really fast metabolism to do that. How much do they eat in a day?
Hummingbirds can eat anywhere from approximately their own body weight in a combination of nectar and insects to, when they're trying to fatten up for migration, as much as three times their body weight in food, which, you know, you think as a human, that would be like hundreds of cheeseburgers. So a lot, certainly a lot of food. For a hummingbird, that ends up being about 15 calories a day, which seems like nothing to us. But when you're talking about a bird that weighs 3 to 5 grams, that's actually a lot of calories for them.
3 grams would be about the weight of a nickel.
Yeah, less than a quarter, maybe about as much as a nickel.
It's really remarkable watching a tiny hummingbird pick insects out of a spider's web. They're not just nectar eaters, are they?
A lot of people don't realize this because the behavior is not as easy to see when they are eating insects. But a lot of a hummingbird's diet actually consists of insects. at certain times of the year, most of their diet could be insects, depending on nectar availability. They estimate that over the course of the year, insects probably make up about half of a hummingbird's diet, or sometimes more, depending on the species.
And that would be where they get their protein.
That's correct, yeah.
Next, humans and hummingbirds. The County Naturally, and I'm Pamela Stagg. Today I'm at Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory talking to bander in charge, Ashley Jensen. Ashley, it's much trickier banding a hummingbird than a songbird. Tell me about that.
So it is quite different banding a hummingbird than banding songbirds. And for that reason, banding hummingbirds tends to be done separately than banding other birds. So for example, here at Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory, we actually don't band hummingbirds. We do catch them in our nets. But mostly because we don't catch many, we have not gone out and gotten the certification to band them. And because it is, as you say, tricky, and it requires some special skills, they're so tiny, it does require a separate certification to be able to band hummingbirds. One thing about hummingbirds is their scientific name for their family is Apodidae, which means no feet. The reason that they were given that name is because their feet and legs are so tiny, they can barely perch. They can, but they can't like walk along a branch, for example. Hummingbirds actually can't walk. If a hummingbird were on the ground, it essentially is dependent on its wings to flutter along. It cannot walk with its legs like another type of bird could. When you go to band a hummingbird, you can imagine that extremely tiny leg. Some folks who have glasses, for example, or don't have the greatest vision need to get in there with a magnifying glass so they can see what they're doing. And the bands have an extremely tiny number on them. So you're kind of doing microscopic work at this point to band a hummingbird. They do also take special bands that have to be shaped by hand. It's sort of a whole process on its own to band a hummingbird.
It's a real thrill seeing hummingbirds up close, and it's easy to do with a feeder and sugar water. Ashley, what's the recipe for making sugar water yourself?
We recommend that you do make sugar water yourself and not buy the mix at the store, because it's going to have the least amount of preservatives and other things in them, especially dyes that the birds really don't need and are potentially unhealthy for them. And it's very simple. You just need 4 parts water and 1 part sugar.
So that would be 1/4 cup of sugar and 1 cup of water.
That's correct. And you can do that in any quantity you want to make it up in. You can make a little in advance, and then you have your sugar water ready to go. Yeah, very simple. You just need to warm the water, mix the sugar in until it dissolves. It is good to boil it, because then you make sure that it's sterilized, and then it will tend to keep longer in the hummingbird feeder once you've done that. And then once it's cooled, you can put it in the feeder and you're ready to go.
Is it okay to use honey instead of sugar?
No, we don't recommend that people use honey, because one, it's not a food source that the birds would generally go after, and there can be other bacteria, et cetera, in the honey, and it tends to also be messy. So we do recommend that you just use plain white sugar.
And I guess you make sure the feeders stay clean.
That is a really good point. It's really important to make sure the feeders stay clean. We generally recommend that you clean your feeder at least once a week for hummingbird feeders. And we find that in this really hot, humid weather that we get here in Ontario, for example, this summer when we were getting days that were around 40 degrees with the humidity, we were changing the food in our hummingbird feeder every other day because we found it was going bad quicker. So pay attention to that. If we're getting really hot weather, you'll want to change the food in the feeder every day or two.
And how do you clean the feeder?
You can just clean it with soap and water, but the best way to clean it would be just to pour some boiling water into the feeder. You can also use a really light bleach solution. Just make sure it gets rinsed well.
Feeding hummingbirds isn't just about providing nectar. They love the basil and ornamental tobacco flowers on my deck. Ashley, what are some of the other flowers that you can plant to attract hummingbirds?
There's lots of native flowers that you can plant for hummingbirds. Some of the best are in the Monarda genus. So bee balm and bergamot are two of the best. Penstemon is another native flower you can plant. Trumpet vine is another really beautiful one, and that one is actually co-evolved with hummingbirds. It requires hummingbirds to pollinate it. Those are all great options, and a shrub you could plant would be bush honeysuckle. I would steer people away from the non-native honeysuckles because they're not great food sources for some other birds like waxwings. But if you want to plant a honeysuckle, the native bush honeysuckle is a good one. But almost any tubular flower will be a hummingbird favorite.
I guess that's why they like my tobacco so much.
Yeah, that's right.
Next, an incredible migration. County Naturally, and I'm Pamela Stagg. Today I'm at Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory talking to Ashley Jansen, bander in charge of the observatory. Ashley, the ruby-throated hummingbird summers in the county. Where does it spend the winter?
Many of the hummingbird species in Canada are going to spend their winters mostly in Mexico. Some of them even winter in the very southern parts of the U.S., so they're going to be migrating down to Mexico and even in Central America.
Some of them cross the Gulf of Mexico and they fly straight out over the ocean. These days, birds are getting some extra help on their way across the open ocean. Tell me about that.
People have started to notice this phenomenon, and it's not just hummingbirds, but any birds that decide to cross the Gulf of Mexico, because even songbirds will choose to do this. If they get caught in bad weather, or all of a sudden they hit a headwind, sometimes the birds can get tired out over open water. And so a boat or an oil rig, something they can land on, could potentially save these birds. There are a few instances of people feeding birds on boats and oil rigs, but mostly it's just the fact that the birds have somewhere to land, and even potentially with boats, ride all the way to shore.
People really seem to enjoy having the birds in that rather impersonal environment.
Absolutely, yeah. There's been a lot of it on social media, across the internet, photos of birds riding on boats, and people definitely enjoy getting to see them in such an unusual scenario.
If you have hummingbird feeders out in, say, mid-August, you can watch hummingbirds gaining weight as they prepare to migrate. How much weight do they gain?
Some birds can gain quite a large amount of weight, even almost double their body weight. So you could have potentially a 3-gram bird that gains almost 6 grams. They find this often with older hummingbirds who have some experience that understand that they can use that resource of a hummingbird feeder to just really fatten up. And they seem to need that life experience to understand this, which is super interesting. And then they'll take a really nonstop migration. Now, other hummingbirds, more particularly young hummingbirds, will typically fly maybe a couple hundred kilometers and then stop and then refuel and gain a little more fat and then do that same thing again till they get to their destination in Mexico or South America. And those birds are less likely to fly over the Gulf. They will go along the edge until they get down to Mexico or Central America.
When is it okay to take hummingbird feeders in for the winter?
I would generally recommend that people take them in around October, unless you're still seeing hummingbirds hanging around. The peak of the hummingbird migration here is early to mid-September. About the beginning of October is when we quit seeing them. But I would usually wait until it's been at least a week since you've seen a hummingbird at your feeder.
How about when to put the hummingbird feeders out in the spring?
I would typically put them out here towards the end of April, and you usually aren't going to see them right away, but it's good to have feeders out for any early birds. But one of the things you can use to gauge it is when the yellow-bellied sapsuckers return. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers are a type of woodpecker that specifically focuses on trees that have a lot of sap, and they create sap wells.
The sap wells are fascinating. These are holes that the woodpecker drills in the tree deep enough that the sap flows out. And the yellow-bellied sapsucker will return to that tree and make sure that these sap wells stay open so that it can come and drink. If you notice a tree with multiple small holes, chances are that's a sapsucker well tree.
They create these beautiful patterns that they peck in the bark of trees. And hummingbirds are basically steal, quote unquote, from the sap wells of the sapsuckers. They will use this as a resource in the spring, because in late April and even early May, there certainly aren't really flowers out for them to be going to. So they're relying on insects, which even then can be sparse. The sapwells from the yellow-bellied sapsuckers are a great food resource for them that's reliable. So they follow the yellow-bellied sapsuckers to some extent. Once the yellow-bellied sapsuckers are back, we are seeing quite a few. It's usually a good sign that the hummingbirds will be back fairly soon.
Are you seeing any shift in the dates with climate change?
We are a little bit. There's a fair bit of variation with hummingbirds, but they are responding to climate change. They are coming back earlier in the spring. Not typically staying later in the fall. There are always a few stragglers. Hard to say whether there's more of that happening.
Hummingbirds are pretty possessive about hummingbird feeders.
Hummingbirds are extremely territorial. In the wild, they would have a limited amount of nectar resources. And so it benefits them to defend those resources from other hummingbirds. Even though there is an unlimited amount of nectar in a feeder, they think it's something that should be defended. It is another thing that people find very interesting and entertaining and charismatic about these birds. You can watch them fight over feeders. They are quite aggressive little birds. From all of the observations I've made over the years, they're actually one of the most aggressive bird species. They will even chase off other large songbirds if they are near their feeder or near a good patch of flowers.
Ashley, what's your favorite memory of hummingbirds?
My favorite memory was the first time that I visited a banding operation for hummingbirds. It was just so amazing to see these little birds in the hand. They're so tiny. Just to see them that close is so unbelievable. They're just such charismatic little birds.
Ashley, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking to Ashley Jensen, bander in charge at Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory. We spoke at the observatory, and that's the program for today. I'm Pamela Stagg. Thanks for joining me on The County, Naturally. See you next week.
Thank you, Ashley and Pamela. Next, I'll let you know what's coming up later this week on The Grapevine after these brief messages.